Most people who follow commercial aviation have a mental model of the Boeing 737, short to medium haul, point A to point B, the workhorse of the domestic network. You see it at every major hub, every regional airport, grinding through turn cycles with the kind of reliability that makes airline planners sleep at night. So when you hear that Australian carriers are using the 737 MAX 8 to fly international routes stretching past 6.5 hours, it stops you for a second. I'm Tower, this is Atis on Radio Hangar. Let's talk about what's actually happening in Australian airspace and what it tells us about where narrow-body aviation is headed. Today's broadcast is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com now. Back to Australia and the 737 MAX. Simple Flying has been tracking the rollout of what amounts to 10 new international routes in 2026 operated by the MAX 8 in Australian markets. That's not 10 routes globally. That's 10 routes anchored to Australian cities, and the network they paint is more ambitious than the aircraft's reputation suggests. Here's what you need to know about the MAX 8's range. Boeing advertises it at roughly 3,500 nautical miles. That's the book number. In real-world airline operations, with payload, winds, and reserve requirements, the usable range on thinner routes, meaning lower passenger loads and reduced fuel burn per seat, can stretch that envelope. Airlines are not flying these routes at max payload. They're using the aircraft's efficiency to thread routes that older narrowbodies couldn't touch. The headline route in this expansion is Cairns to Singapore. 6 hours and 45 minutes of overwater flying in a narrowbody. Cairns, for listeners unfamiliar with Australian geography, sits in far north Queensland. It's a tourism gateway, the Great Barrier Reef, the Daintree Rainforest. And Singapore's Changi is one of the major connecting hubs for Southeast Asia and beyond. The route makes geographic sense. It makes commercial sense. But 6 hours and 45 minutes is a long time to be sitting in a seat without the kind of wide-body comfort most passengers associate with international flying. That tension between what the aircraft can do and what passengers expect is the whole story here. Let's step back and talk about why this is happening at the industry level. The economics of the MAX 8 are genuinely different from the previous generation 737, the CFM LEAP 1B engines, and that stands for CFM International's Leading Edge Aviation Propulsion Series, deliver somewhere in the range of 14-15% better fuel efficiency compared to the CFM 56 engines on the next generation 737. That number comes from Boeing and CFM directly, and it's been borne out in airline operating data since the MAX returned to service following the grounding that ran from March 2019 through late 2020. That fuel burn improvement changes the math on thinner routes, a route that couldn't support wide-body economics, not enough passengers, not enough premium demand to fill a 250-seat aircraft profitably, suddenly becomes viable with a 180-seat narrowbody burning significantly less fuel per trip. Australian carriers have been watching this calculus carefully. The continent is geographically isolated in a way that creates natural demand for international routes, but many of those routes are relatively thin. Cairns to Singapore isn't Sydney to London. The passenger volumes don't support daily wide-body service year-round, but they might support a MAX 8, especially if you're keeping your costs down. Cairns to Singapore being the longest route at 6:45 is significant. Let me give you some context on what that means operationally. Extended twin-engine operations, known as ETOPS, is the regulatory framework that governs overwater and remote area twin-engine flying. The concept is straightforward. If you lose an engine over the ocean, you need to reach a diversion airport within a certain time window on the remaining engine. The Federal Aviation Administration and Australia's Civil Aviation Safety Authority, or CASA, both certify aircraft and operators for specific ETOPS ratings. The 737 MAX is ETOPS rated. Boeing received FAA authorization for ETOPS 180 on the MAX, meaning 180 minutes from a diversion airport on one engine at single-engine cruise speed. There have been additional extended approvals as well. That certification is what unlocks transoceanic routing for a narrowbody. For a route like Cairns to Singapore, ETOPS compliance isn't just a checkbox. The dispatcher planning that flight is looking at fuel loads, diversion airports, places like Darwin, Bali, or other fields that can handle a MAX in an emergency, and real-time weather. The oceanic track has to thread through approved ETOPS airspace. It's a more complex dispatch than a domestic hop, and the crews are trained specifically for those extended overwater scenarios. This is the part of the story the headline doesn't tell. It's not just, hey, look, a small plane is flying a long way. It's a complete operational framework that makes extended flights in a narrowbody safe and certified. The engineering and regulatory groundwork was years in the making. Now, the 10 routes, Simple Flying has detailed the full list. Beyond Cairns to Singapore, the expansion includes a range of connections tying Australian cities to Southeast Asian and Pacific destinations. Some of these are genuinely new routes, markets that weren't served before. Others are frequency additions or replacements for aging aircraft types. What's interesting from a GA perspective? And I know some of you are wondering when I'm going to make this relevant to the person who flies a Cessna 172 or a Cirrus SR22, is what this tells us about the broader evolution of aircraft capability. The MAX represents a generational shift in what a single-aisle jet can do, and that same pattern, more efficient power plants, lighter airframe materials, better avionics enabling optimized flight paths, is playing out at every level of aviation. We're seeing it in business aviation with aircraft like the Gulfstream G700 pushing the boundaries of range and cabin comfort. We're seeing it in turboprops where modern engines are squeezing more nautical miles out of the same fuel load. And yes, we're seeing it in general aviation with FA deck engines, composite airframes, and glass cockpits that make efficient cruise planning more accessible than it ever has been. The impulse to push range with a given airframe is universal among pilots. Who hasn't looked at a fuel burn calculation and thought, what if I climb higher, lean more aggressively, catch a better tailwind? The airline answer to that question, when it involves a 737 MAX flying to Singapore, is the same instinct scaled up by a factor of several thousand. There's also a competitive angle worth noting. Australian aviation is a contested market. Qantas and Virgin Australia have historically dominated domestic routes, but international competition from carriers like AirAsia X Jetstar, which is Qantas's low-cost arm, and various Southeast Asian carriers has shaped how Australian airlines approach pricing and route strategy. Deploying the MAX on international routes is partly a cost play. Lower operating costs can mean lower fares, which matters enormously on leisure routes, like Cairns to Singapore, where price sensitivity runs high. Jetstar in particular has been aggressive about using narrow bodies on routes where a competitor might have used a wide body. That philosophy has reshaped expectations in some markets. Passengers who might have expected a Boeing 787 or an Airbus 330 on a 6-hour flight are increasingly going to find a MAX or an A320neo, that's the Airbus 320 with a new engine option, instead. The comfort question is real, and pilots often have opinions about it that differ from passengers. From an operational standpoint, the MAX 8 is a well-sorted airplane. The control feel is familiar to crews with 737 type ratings. The avionics suite is modern. The LEAP engines are remarkably quiet compared to previous generations of narrow-body power plants. I want to spend a moment on the MAX's history, because you can't talk about this airplane in 2026 without acknowledging where it's been. The two crashes, Lion Air Flight 610 in October 2018 and Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 in March 2019, killed 346 people and grounded every MAX in service worldwide. The cause was the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, or MCAS. That system was designed to compensate for pitch-up tendency introduced by the placement of the larger LEAP engines on the airframe. When erroneous angle of attack sensor data triggered MCAS repeatedly, crews in both accidents faced a failure mode that overwhelmed them. The return to service in late 2020 came after Boeing redesigned the MCAS software, added angle of attack disagree alerts, and addressed crew training requirements. The FAA's recertification process was exhaustive and heavily scrutinized both internally and by international regulators. Several countries conducted their own independent reviews before returning the aircraft to their airspace. The MAX flying long international routes in 2026 is flying with that history built into it. The regulatory scrutiny has not diminished. Boeing has been under ongoing oversight from the FAA on manufacturing quality, following separate concerns that emerged in 2024 around build standards at the Renton facility. This aircraft has more regulatory attention on it than almost any other type in commercial service. For the pilots flying these routes, the MAX post-return represents an airplane they've trained on extensively with updated systems and clearer procedures. The airline crews operating Cairns to Singapore aren't ignoring that history. They're flying an airplane whose failure mode is now documented, understood, and mitigated. Aviation has always moved forward by learning from what went wrong. The story of the MAX is part of that continuum. Let me bring it back to the route numbers for a moment, because the scale of what Australia is seeing is worth spelling out. 10 new international routes anchored in Australian markets, all operated with the MAX 8, coming online in 2026. The longest is 6 hours and 45 minutes. That means the shortest are likely in the 3 to 4 hour range. shorter international hops to Indonesian or Papuan destinations, or Trans-Tasman routes to New Zealand. Taken together, this expansion reflects a deliberate bet by Australian carriers that the MAX 8 is their tool for growing international connectivity without the capital cost of a wide-body fleet. A new Boeing 787 Dreamliner or Airbus 350 can run well over $200 million at list price. A MAX 8 is roughly $130 million for a carrier looking at thin route economics. The math points clearly in one direction. That said, the passenger experience differential is real. 6 hours and 45 minutes in a 2x3 seat configuration is not the same as 6 hours and 45 minutes in a 2x2 layout. The cabin on a narrow body doesn't have the ceiling height or the cross section of a wide body window. Seats work fine, middle seats on a long overwater flight are another conversation. Whether passengers accept that trade-off for a lower fare is the market question Australian carriers are betting they can answer in their favor. From where I sit, this expansion is part of a broader global trend toward what the industry calls right-sizing. Match the aircraft to the route demand rather than defaulting to larger types, because that's what international flying used to look like. Low-cost long-haul routes of 8 to 12 hours operated with a single-aisle aircraft has been an elusive model that several carriers have attempted and abandoned. Australia's MAX expansion is more measured. 6 hours and 45 minutes is long for a narrowbody, but not long-haul in the traditional sense. It's a manageable stretch. What the next few years will tell us is whether these routes perform well enough to hold. International aviation is sensitive to geopolitical conditions, currency shifts, and fuel prices in ways that domestic networks are not. If the Cairns to Singapore route builds a loyal passenger base and generates consistent load factors, it validates the model. If not, it gets quietly retired and the aircraft moves to other flying. That's the nature of the business. Routes are hypotheses. Traffic data is the answer. For our listeners who fly professionally, especially those with aspirations toward the right seat of something with more thrust, routes like this are where the job gets interesting. Long overwater ETOPS operations in a narrow body require a different kind of situational awareness than a quick domestic turn. Diversion planning is front of mind for the whole flight. Fuel planning is precise. The oceanic clearances require familiarity with procedures that the domestic aviator rarely encounters. If you're flying a turboprop in a regional operation and you're thinking about what's next, the pathway often goes through familiarization with ETOPS procedures and overwater operations well before you touch the line check in whatever wide body you're eventually chasing. The MAX routes coming out of Australia are the kind of flying that builds that experience. For our GA listeners, the takeaway is simpler. Watch this airplane. The economics that are enabling 6-hour international routes in a narrowbody are the same economic forces that will eventually shape what general aviation aircraft look like a decade from now. Efficiency wins every time. My information today comes from Simple Flying's reporting on Australian MAX route expansion. Find us at radiohangar.com. Safe skies, tower out.